Blog Talk Radio.
Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. It's a new summer era. We don't wanna see the heroes. We fighting against each other. It's the love that we need with one another. You understand? Trust might be love. No.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. Welcome to another NDL Morrell Dollhouse Radio production of Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. We have a few issues, as usual, to go into tonight. Our first issue is going to be war on police, question mark. Second topic will be Trump. And the third, not necessarily a topic, but we're just going to have some miscellaneous issues that I'm going to read into the show and or talk about during the show. So I hope you all stick with me, and if you have something to add to the conversation, do call in. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And as we know, before we get started, I normally give, well, the weather report, being that it's wintertime. Well, it's not officially wintertime. Winter isn't officially here until the 21st of this month, which is quickly approaching. But it's cold out there. I mean, long story, but I seen on my phone today, it was like 3 degrees outside, but that's early in the morning it was. It may have said minus three. I couldn't believe it. But then again, well, I had meant to check another apparatus, so to speak, to find out if that was true or not, but I got distracted, never did that. But it snowed today here in New York, and it was snowing quite much as well. I found that out as I had planned to go down to the store at some point this evening. It was, I couldn't believe all that snow coming down, but then again, this is that time of year when snow is supposed to be. But then again, I always say, well, for adults, snow is a big inconvenience, but for the children, it's G-R-E-A-T, great. So for the children, I won't say I like it, but for the children, I understand snow more than I do as an adult. So moving right along, I'm going to read, being this show is Urban Society, I'm going to read into the show right now something that those who are part of the Urban Society should really try to understand. And that is that something Frederick Douglass has said decades ago. We can almost say, well, basically more than a century ago. It was true then, and it's still true now, unfortunately. But this is the way it is to those of us who are conscious of the situation the way it is. What he wrote was, where justice is denied, where poverty is enforced, where ignorance prevails, and where any one class is made to feel that society is an organized conspiracy to oppress, rob, and degrade them, neither persons nor property will be safe. That's what Frederick Douglass said. And he was a slave. And just imagine how profound those words were to the enslaved black population at that time. Even also the free black population that wasn't enslaved at that time. Because as quiet as it's kept, if it's known or not, but it's true, even during slavery, that point and period in time, there were in fact a lot of black people who weren't slaves through whatever means or methods. And quite a large segment as well were free, although slavery existed in this country. But that's another issue, or that is an issue, but for another time. But again, even with that, the government of that time sought to make it so that no black person would be free in the United States. That's when they had ran through the Congress that fugitive slave bill. And when that thing became enacted through law, Congress, a lot of black people quickly beat-feeted to Kansas. Not Kansas, my mistake, Canada. It's cold in Canada, too. Anyway, so moving right along, as I said, the first issue is going to be war on police. That's going to be our first issue here. And what I have here to start it off is something called the Ferguson Effect. And the title of this article is Savagely Beaten Cop Didn't Draw a Gun for Fear of Media Uproar, Says Chicago Police Chief. And that Chicago police chief just happened to have been at that time, and this time as well, a black man. But remember what I just said also in reference to what I read concerning Frederick Douglass. There were free blacks during the period of slavery as well as there were blacks who were enslaved. Consider that. Think about that. So this article goes on to say, or starts off to say, a Chicago police officer who was savagely beaten at a car accident scene this week, which was some time ago, actually, I will say that, because this article was written sometime in September of this year. But I'm just getting to it now because of so many things happening and going on. And then again, as we know, I get caught on a topic and stay in there for who knows how long. So anyway, I'll read that part again. It says, a Chicago police officer was savagely beaten at a car accident scene this week, did not draw her gun on her attacker, even though she feared for her life, because she was afraid of the media attention that would come if she shot him, the city police chief said Thursday of that time. Chicago Police Department, the article goes on to say, Chicago Police Department Superintendent Eddie Johnson said the officer, a 17-year veteran of the force, knew she should shoot the attacker, but hesitated because she didn't want her family or the department to go through the scrutiny the next day on the national news. It goes further to say that Johnson's remarks, which came at an award ceremony for police and firefighters, underscore a point law enforcement officers and some political leaders have pressed repeatedly as crime has risen in Chicago and other major cities, that police are reluctant to use force or act aggressively because they worry about negative media attention that will follow. Interesting, is it not? Trying to play into a false narrative, so to speak, trying to play into a situation that can be propagandized to suit police and aggressive policing tactics. But that's another issue, or again, that is part of the issue. Anyway, the article goes on to say, the issue has become known as, well, this issue has become known as the Ferguson effect, named after the St. Louis suburb where a police officer shot and killed an unarmed black teenager in August 2014. The shooting set off protests and riots that summer and eventually gave way to a fevered national debate over race and policing. Many law enforcement officers have said that the intense focus on policing in the time since has put them on the defensive and hindered their work. That can be believed or not believed, but come on, let's think about that. Criminologists, the article goes further to say that criminologists are generally skeptical of the Ferguson effect, many arguing that there simply isn't enough evidence to definitively link spikes in crime to police acting with increased restraint. President Barack Obama and Attorney General Loretta Lynch have also said not enough data exists to draw a clear connection. The article goes further to say that in Chicago, which has experienced record numbers of homicides this year, Mayor Rahm Emanuel has blamed the surge in violent crime on officers balking during confrontations, saying they have become fetal because they don't want to be prosecuted or fired for their actions. One can wonder, you know, well, what's going on here? But again, this article was written back in September, and nothing much has changed since then. The article goes further to say that Superintendent Johnson stopped short of saying the attack on the officer was an example of the Ferguson effect in action, but said being under a magnifying glass has caused his police to second guess themselves. You have to read in. I mean, what they say is what they say, but at the same time, we have to think what is really happening here. Talking about how now officers having to second guess themselves, and then therefore having to second guess, having to more than what they would if people weren't watching them so closely now, which is something that they should have been doing all along. But anyway, the article goes further to say that, according to Johnson, the 43-year-old officer who had been identified was responding to a car crash Wednesday when a 28-year-old man who was involved in the accident struck her in the face, then repeatedly smashed her head against the pavement until she passed out. He said the attack went on for several minutes and that two officers were injured as they tried to pull the suspect away. The suspect was on PCP, he said, and was finally subdued after officers tasered and pepper sprayed him. Johnson said he visited the officer in the hospital where she told him why she did not draw her weapon during the attack. He says, this is in quotes, it says that she looked at me and said she thought she was going to die. He told the audience at the award ceremony. So he was at the award ceremony speaking about this officer and saying that she looked at me and said she thought she was going to die. And she knew that she should shoot this guy, but she chose not to because she didn't want her family or the department to have to go through the scrutiny the next day on national news. And this guy Johnson goes on to say that this officer could have lost her life last night. We have to change the narrative of law enforcement across this country. And it can only be wondered what narrative is he talking about changing. Or more so is to be wondered what he's saying should be said about policing in this country. But that's not even an issue as to what should be said about policing in this country. But what should be said is what policing in this country should be, basically. Anyway, the article goes on to say that the head of Chicago's police union, the largest in the country, said the incident showed how concerned officers are about becoming the center of a public if they use force. Police don't want to become the next YouTube video, he told the Tribune. Well, as I said, this happened in September, And between September and now, look at the number of police shootings that have taken place against unarmed African Americans. So therefore, what was said right there, that these police officers are highly concerned about not becoming the center of attention, can't be true. They're just talking to be talking, basically. The article goes on to say further that, but a Chicago civil rights lawyer says the police have borne, but the Chicago civil rights lawyer said that police bore some responsibility for the tension between police and the communities they serve. Thank you very much. But I said that. Thank you very much. Decades of abuse by the police department had eroded the public's trust, attorney John Lovey told the Tribune. Any fair-minded person, this is in quotes, any fair-minded person acknowledges that police have a very difficult and dangerous job, and this sounds like a very unfortunate situation, he said. The hope is that the department and the community can work to repair some of the lost trust so the officers won't always feel so second-guessed. That's that article. And right on time, because now we're going to have to go into our first music break. It's like now, 14 minutes to the hour, and we're going to hear a song from, I had it already pulled up, but it has scrolled down the page, so let me bring that song back up. Let's see here. I'm trying to pick out something here. I have seen something. I don't want to go there, not right now, though. So let me get this song together here. Okay, just bear with me as I scroll down the list of songs here. Okay, I just seen it. We're going to hear something from somebody named Memphis Moe. It's entitled Everything. It's spelled E-V-E-R-Y-T-H-A-N-G. That's why I said everything as opposed to everything. So this is Memphis Moe, Everything. Let's hear how it goes. Here we go. And we'll be right back.
You know who it is. Memphis Moe, baby. Caviar Dream. We doing everything.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
I know you see me in the slingshot, up and down I 75, moving through the traffic, and your bitch look like she wanna ride. It don't have no top, that mean you ride it in the summertime. She took off her top and then remind me that it's summertime. Hop inside, take a spin, Instagram pic, tell your friend. You riding with a half today, plus my niggas pulling in. Girl, don't be acting silly, backwards what we rolling in. Pop the ceiling, pull up for that permissive. Keeping the G's, just pimping at me. Caviar Dreams, that is the team, and that is what life and luxury means. I pull up in a Sprinter made by Benz, I'm swooping and swapping the foreign. Except for the Escalade, it was too clean. You tell me I can't and I do it again. You tell me I can't and I do it again. We got lip balm, nigga, handspray. Trap bounce like a spring set. Stunt with the money, but I ain't baby. I'm skydiving all out in Vegas. I was one card away from a million bucks. I got my poker face with this tough look. I got my pints in and ran my check up. And I'm right back in and it's big.
We doing everything. Nah,
for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
Doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
We doing everything.
Nah, for real, it's time for that.
TRU affiliate. Street is X, so we'll break your neck. Got lawyers on backup. If you wanna act up, we come from the bottom. I don't wanna back up. Got weapons I don't know how to pronounce, so you just might wanna back up. niggas be copying and pasting what we do. I call them snackers selling a dream, lying about what you can do in your scene. I call them actors, got a big fan, but when I'm alone, gotta keep a tone. Call me a packer, never been a hater, only paper chaser, schedule kinda full. Maybe see you later. Wasn't really cool, running into you. Just got a call, said she wanted school. Did I fail to mention it was from your boo? Said that I'm a dude, shit that you won't do. Said she got dinner and move it for two, but I'ma pass it up and leave it to you. Cause I got a truckload of work, I gotta move. I got some other stuff that I gotta do. I'm fishing in Florida, hunting in Georgia, hiking in Tennessee. Put on your boots, and if you know you scared, then just say you scared. Don't be a fool by making no moves. I'm out of your range, it's simple and plain. So go to the range and learn how to shoot. In case it pop off, don't get popped off. I'ma walk off, yeah, I've been a ball. Go have some seats here, go my receipts. Now check my resume, yeah, I paid the cost.
He's doing everything.
Welcome back to India Morel Dollhouse Radio. You listen to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. We just heard a song from Memphis Moe entitled "Everything." Memphis Moe, "Everything," and we just left the issue or article entitled "The Ferguson Effect," and it's interesting that you know they have given it that title or that name or that moniker, so to speak, the Ferguson Effect. And in essence, what that means, in essence, is that when a cop shoots someone unjustifiably, as they put it, they don't want national scrutiny upon themselves. But they miss something in saying that. The thing is, they ought not be shooting civilians unjustly. But then again, as we know, it's just not civilians whom they are shooting unjustly, but they're more so shooting black Americans unjustly and without cause. And in more cases than not, the individual had been unarmed, or if not unarmed, wasn't posing any threat whatsoever. And they feel that to shoot an individual in or under those circumstances, then there will be a big uproar, as well it should be a big uproar or big outcrying and huge demonstrations everywhere. Especially in the town wherein it should happen. But they're talking about, you know, what is best. So in essence, they're talking about it's best that they don't do this to avoid that, to avoid the Ferguson effect. But a real question again should be, why would they want to do that anyway? What is in them that compels? Well, compel maybe not the right word. But what is it in them that makes them think that this is more so to happen than not? That should be something to consider. So anyway, moving right along, I have this this other article entitled "The Lie That Started the War on Cops," which is the name of the. This is why I named the topic as I did, "War on Police," because of an article that is in fact entitled "War on Cops" or "War on Police," as if there actually is a war on police. And then with the other title there, the Ferguson Effect, that plays into the narrative or the propagation of the term war on police or war on cops. Anyway, this article here starts off by saying, but like before I go there, I also want to say that I had read not read, but I had pulled up on YouTube. A video on this person whom they are saying is having so much to say about this alleged war on person named Heather McDonald. I pulled her up on YouTube to see one of her speeches or talks or lectures, and she'd be going all out and talking the nonsense that she talks. But at the same time, what she's talking, it's not new, it's old. And it's a lot of racism. Basically, it's racism rehashed all over again in 2016. But still, the racist people, they eat it up. They eat it up like lunch. Anyway, this article starts off by saying that there's false information being fed to the public through national reporting networks such as Fox News and CNN that claim there's a war on cops. It has been supposedly verified by the editorialized reporting produced by Heather McDonald of the Manhattan Institute, one of the most conservative right-wing think tanks in the United States. This fake research has been used to lie about the Black Lives Matter movement, call into question the reality of police brutality, and promote the idea that police officers are the victims of brutality rather than the aggressors. Check that out. Really? Police are victims of brutality rather than the aggressors. But then again, that article that I just read, the Ferguson effect, wherein it talked about some police person having been beat upon by some irate individual. I mean, you know, that's all right. Something like that is what a person like Heather McDonald and other conservatives or others of the national media would want to signify, that such as like these police shootings are basically not random everyday occurrences, as if also these are like what their term, isolated incidences, happen every now and then, as opposed to every now, or more so every day. But at the same time, I mean, the article that I had just read off into the show about the Ferguson effect, how they had talked about this irate individual who beat on this cop. Now, that's a random occurrence. You know, it's just one of those things that happened to have happened. It's not like they happen every day. No, they're not. Or then again, if they do happen every day, what? It's like what? A cop being hit in the face, a cop being spit upon by some irate individual. Any individual being arrested is going to be irate, especially if they are being arrested without cause, without justification. Being arrested just because the police person feels that they want to arrest somebody. But that's another issue. But this is what goes on. And again, that is or could be considered an isolated incident in terms, you know, in connection or laid side by side with the police killing of unarmed, innocent individuals. So, back to the article. The article goes further to say that Heather McDonald's pseudo-academic pennings are written much in the style of Trump campaign's general rhetorical strategy. They center themselves by, among other strategies, rewording the argument being used against them to blame the accuser for the same act, overwhelming the communication channel with false information and asserting that this false information is absolute truth, and they are based on complete lies. McDonald's work, specifically, is rooted in the outright lie and misrepresentation of the Black Lives Matter movement. She writes, "The need is urgent to examine the Black Lives Matter movement's central thesis that police pose the greatest threat to young black men." The article goes further to say, "This has never been Black Lives Matter's central thesis, not in rhetoric and not in practice. There is absolutely no evidence that backs this claim. Black Lives Matter central thesis can be located in their mission statement, which reads, when we say Black Lives Matter, we are broadening the conversation around state violence to include all the ways in which black people are intentionally left powerless at the hands of the state. We are talking about the ways in which black lives are deprived of our basic human rights and dignity." It goes on to describe the BLM focus state violence in all forms, including black poverty, black incarceration, black violence against women, young girls, and people with disabilities. Now, this is not what Heather McDonald is saying. This is what the writer of this article is saying in rebuttal to what these Republicans and CNN and Fox News people like to broadcast. Excuse me. The article goes further to say, hashtag Black Lives Matter is working for a world where black lives are no longer systematically and intentionally targeted for demise. We affirm our contributions to this society, our humanity, and our resilience in the face of deadly oppression. We have put our sweat, equity, and love for black people into creating a political project, taking the hashtag off of social media and into the streets. The call for Black Lives Matter is a rallying cry for all black living, for all black lives striving for liberation. Nowhere is there a call for anyone to take up arms against the police. Nowhere does it say that the greatest threat to black people is police violence. Nowhere does it call for war on cops. Nowhere. The idea that the ill-formed arguments and racist accusations built off of this lie is actually a form of valid research is also a bold-faced lie. The first deception engaged in by McDonald and her construction of a war on cops is that her work is academically valid. She may have a law degree. She may be funded by a conservative research institution. One of the main differences between academic research and general reporting is that in academic work, researchers must root their work in that of a field and the dominant theorists in that field. Indicators that McDonald's work is not formally valid is a complete lack of theoretical rooting. More so, indicators that McDonald's work is not formally valid and is its complete lack of theoretical rooting. McDonald's work succeeds in providing a very decontextualized and historically detached opinion of the struggle against police brutality. Her audience is largely white people that have been denied access to college. These white people are comfortable enough with racism to entertain an outright political position. We've heard that term before, outright, recently, due to the election of and campaigning of moron Donald Trump. Yeah, the article goes further to say that these white people, I'll read that part again, therefore. These white people are comfortable enough with racism to entertain the outright political position and lacking educational training enough to not know the difference between some numbers and a few research papers and an actually valid research process. But then again, you know, they talk about people who listen to people like this, Heather McDonald and Fox News and CNN and Donald Trump and those other clowns. They talk, people talk like it's just non-educated people who listen to these morons. No, it's people who've actually been to college, or if they haven't been to college, they do have some sense. Well, can they really have sense? No, they don't have no sense, because if they have sense, they will listen to people like Heather McDonald and or Donald Trump and or those Fox News and those other idiots. So no, I take that back. They don't have sense, but they have been to school. They have been to college. They may have a associate's degree or bachelor's degree, even a master's degree. They may have even written books, but that don't mean that they know anything in a real sense. So no, I disagree with what she's saying here, that the people who mainly follow or listen to people like Heather McDonald are uneducated, haven't gone to college, or even to school for that matter, because even a person who has gone to high school can know more than some people who has been to college. It's true. But anyway, moving right along in this article here, it goes further to say that in order to make this claim, there's a lot that has to be ignored. Really? For example, she has to ignore the historical relationship between the police and people of color. She has to ignore the relationship between the state and people of color in general. Heather McDonald has to ignore the work of community experts in the field that have fought and are currently fighting against state violence in their own communities. She has to ignore the fields upon fields of research from historians. She would have to completely ignore entire schools of thought and generations of research that affirm time and time again that the victims of state violence and police brutality are the people targeted by the police, not the other way around. So, I'm going to have to hold off there because we're going to have to go into our next music break. But interesting article, is it not? So right now we're going to hear a song from Myla J entitled Friends from the CoverGirl mixtape. And here we go, and we'll be right back.
I remember when we started texting. I was playing it cool, you were flexing. I know I wasn't the only one you messed with. But it was good, I was on to the next one. I remember when you started checking up, boy, you must have learned your lesson. Trying to tell me how I always was a blessing. Stayed in the obvious, but you guessed it. Yeah, I got you. Too bad I'm vibing, nigga, I'd be fine without you. Guess you found out all the mother hoes was about shit. And now you're gonna waste your time chasing me. Need to waste your time being caught up over me. Nigga, please. I don't wanna hear about it. You can tell your friends about it.
Go tell your friends about it.
About it. Bitches, now you wishing you was with me, living life so tough. Even all your friends that I was cool with, they don't know that you be on that bullshit. Even though they didn't think that I was stupid, you did. But I ain't tripping, just don't push it. It's cool, I'ma focus on my vision. Cause you only get one pass and you use it. You use it, amusement. So funny how you used to say, have a load. So stupid, and it's so amusing. Your effort is so useless, and now you're gonna waste your time chasing me. Nigga, please, ain't no need to waste your time being caught up over me. Nigga, please, I don't wanna hear about it. You can tell your friends about. Fucking bitches, now you wishing you were with me, living life so chill. Oh, what the fuck was you thinking? You probably wasn't even thinking. Oh, yeah. Now you gotta tell your friends about it. You gotta tell them how you fucked up on the inside. Bitch like me, what the fuck was you thinking?
Welcome back to India Morrell Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And right now we're off into the issue of war on cops, ? And I'm reading from the article entitled, The Lie That Started the War on Cops. And before I go further, let me announce who had made that song, or who was singing that song. It's from someone named Mila J, and the song is entitled Friends. So back to the article that is entitled The Lie That Started the War on Cops. And further, the person, well, she's probably not really the person who started it, but she is a proponent of this idea, this propaganda about a war on cops, and primarily centering it around the Black Lives Matter movement. I mean, there must be cause and effect there, correlations, and it must be why is this so, why now? But anyway, this article has said that for her to even think as she does, and therefore have written what she has written, she has to forget or ignore a whole lot of other writings and people and happenings, which is what she's done, and what they do, Fox News as well, and other conservatives. I don't know what's wrong with their minds, but then again, it's a kind of insanity if you ask me. But move right along into the article. The article goes further to say that police critics, let me get this right here, it says, police critics have never answered the question of what they think non-biased police data should look like. Well, more so it's probably saying police critiques have never answered the question of what they think non-biased policing data should look like in light of the vast differences in rates of criminal offending. And the article goes further to say that completely removing history, context, and any standards of research, though, is the only way that McDonald can possibly make the claim that there is a war on cops. It is the only way she can present the calculations she does as actual statistical analysis. It is the only way that she can claim expertise in a field she has no expertise in. It is the only way that she can claim that in the violent relationship between the police and Black people, the police are the victims. Ignoring the almost clinical language generally applied by formal researchers also allows her to invoke and replicate negative stereotypes of Black people for media consumption. These are not words commonly used. Now, let me go back here. It says, these stereotypes include describing Black people as criminals and gangbangers. These are not words commonly used as population descriptors by researchers discussing formal academic research. It is also not the language that politically and academically qualified experts would use to describe themselves or their communities. This language is, however, very carefully constructed to appeal to a non-academic community being targeted through conservative national media programs such as The O'Reilly Factor, The Rush Limbaugh Show, and Fox and Friends. This audience invites openly racist rhetoric. This audience openly contests civil rights and the struggle to attain them. This audience is comfortable with expanding the boundaries of political incorrectness and is currently being politically wrangled in the support of Donald Trump, the GOP candidate for president. This audience will absorb whatever racist claims they hear as long as it is backed by unsubstantiated confidence and a snarky undertone. That's interesting. Unsubstantiated confidence. I like that phrase. And it is for this audience that McDonald's work is designed, not an academic audience. The war on cops is more racism than research. It is hate speech spoken with an academic accent. I like that too. It's hate speech spoken with an academic accent. When I read that phrase, I think of this new person, this Tommy Loren. She's like that. But I might speak something about her into the show later if I get to it. The article goes further to say that it is prejudice backed by false statistical analysis and outright lies. Heather McDonald's pseudo academic research is nothing more than racism and defamation against Black Lives Matter, against the Black Lives Matter movement. There's no war on cops. There never has been. The war on cops is a racist lie. It always will be. For a deeper look into the lies at the root of the war on cops, it says click here. Anyway, it meant click there for more information on that. And I do have more information on that, but I think that right there should be enough to put the lie to the assertion that there is a war on cops. For real. And something else here, too. I have another article that is entitled, Non-White Cops Killed in 11 Days by White Men. Where was the media coverage? And this article here is dated November 28th, just a week or two ago. And I guess we haven't heard Heather McDonald talking nothing about this, or even for that matter, that this other idiot, yes, I'm calling her idiot, that Tommy Loren, we haven't heard her talking about the non-white cops killed in 11 days, in the last 11 days, or in the last 3 or 4 weeks by white men. But then again, recently, so the news has shown us, but sometimes we cannot believe the news. I mean, they just throw stuff up there just to distract us. Anyway, this article here says that the media continues to show us their agenda. We saw an astronomical number of black men killed on film by police for seemingly existing. The media leads us to believe the victims' appearance or background justified their lives being taken. This led to an eruption of protests in many major cities throughout the United States. One tragic evening at a protest in Dallas, a sniper killed several officers, and the media quickly blamed Black Lives Matter. No apologies were issued when it was discovered that the shooter had absolutely no affiliation with BLM, that is Black Lives Matter. The media was silent. The media was silent about 45-year-old Larry Darrell Gordon, a white man who murdered two white police officers while attempting to escape police custody. Instead, they chose to focus on villainizing. Just a second. Instead, they chose to focus on villainizing Black Lives Matter protesters. So we shouldn't be surprised by the minimal coverage we have seen about the 9 white police officers killed by white men within 11 days. That's almost one death per day. And like I said, one cop was just killed just last week by basically some black guy. And I heard through the news that the black guy offered an apology. That don't mean nothing, but I guess, you know, so much of this apologizing after some egregious happening is catching on now. A person feels they can do whatever and say, okay, I'm sorry. FOH. But anyway, well, move right along. The article goes further to say that there were these were senseless killings that received little to no coverage. One officer was killed after responding to a domestic violence dispute. His partner was shot as well, but survived. Another officer was shot and killed after someone called the police on their neighbor who threatened to shoot him and a friend. While approaching the home, the person who threatened their neighbor shot at the officers, killing one. Three teens stole the car, then later struck and killed an officer with the stolen vehicle. These are just a few of the senseless encounters that took the lives of 9 cops. How much have you heard about these incidents? Because, we can say why. Because these were primarily white people killing white cops. to them, it's just, oh, well, you know, these things happen. But black person do it, he's drug all over the press. And the article goes further to say that in an article in the New York Daily News, Sean King explained that 71% of police who have been shot and killed so far in 2016 have been killed by good old-fashioned white men. Although this is a fact we rarely hear about any of these deaths on the news. Instead, we hear this made-up term, black-on-black crime, exploited almost daily, and rarely speak on white-on-white crime or high percentage of white officers that are killed by white men. The article goes further to say, let's stop believing this false reality the media continues to feed us and realize there are good and bad people in the world, and they come in many different races, ethnicities, and religions, as well as jobs. So I say that to say that there are some good people who become police. I'm not saying necessarily that they're good police people, but I'm saying, as I said, there are some good people who do become police, and it can only be hope that when they do become police, that they are still good. But yet, we are waiting to see this. We're really waiting to see this. And then also, moving right along with these articles on policing and the urban community, I have an article here from Dr. Stacy Patton that I want to read into the show. It's entitled, Trust Has Never Existed Between Cops and Black Communities. And the article goes on, the article starts off by saying, I want to make sure that I get it right here. Okay, she starts off by saying, that is Dr. Stacy Patton starts off by saying, the call to restore trust is a racist fantasy and pure political pandering. For candidates to earn our votes, we need substantive policy that dismantles the abuse of power. During the first presidential debate, During the first presidential debate, both candidates were asked what they do to address our country's racial problems. Not surprisingly, neither candidate offered any substantive solution. Instead, they pivoted to a discussion about policing. Channeling his inner Richard Nixon, Donald Trump called for law and order, a not so coded racial message that calls for increased policing of persons who are poor and or of color, immigrants, or otherwise marginalized by the mainstream. As NPR says, National Public Radio, Trump's single-handed effort to revive the slogan, law and order, is the key to creating the perception of a new crisis of crime and violence. It weaves together assaults by those he calls radical Islamic terrorists, inner city thugs, and illegals. And let's be clear, the Donald is not calling for a policy shift that will lead cops into dorms, cocaine. Let me read that part again. And let's be clear, the Donald is not calling for policy shifts that will lead cops into dorms, cocaine apartments, and gated communities, or police stings against tax cheats and Wall Street executives. But Hillary Clinton's response was equally problematic and similarly coded. It's in quote, Hillary says, we have to restore trust between communities and the police. We have to restore trust. We have to work with the police. We have to make sure they respect the communities and the communities respect them, she said. That is, Hillary said that. Dr. Patton goes on to say, two days before the debate, Clinton has said that the police shooting of unarmed Terrence Crutcher in Tulsa was horrible, just unbearable, and it needs to be intolerable. Having given a nod to black voters, especially those elusive millennials who haven't forgotten or forgiven her super predator's descriptor of black people, the debate offered a moment for her to appeal to suburban women, those who fled the cities in fear of crime and disorder. Clinton's call for trust echoed a widespread argument that not only creates the illusion that the police and the people they prey upon are somehow equal participants, but that each constituency bears an equivalent responsibility for the brutal scenarios. Dr. Patton goes on to say that lawyers and pundits have been singing the same song, especially when police are the victims, such as in Dallas. Ivan Espinoza Madrigal, executive director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights and Economic Justice, a nonprofit, nonpartisan legal organization that provides pro bono legal representation of victims of discrimination based on race or national origin in Boston and Massachusetts, said about the police shooting in Dallas, "We need those communities standing together. I hope that they continue to do. I hope that they continue to do, because what we need to do is have more bridges that connect our community." In recent years, the Justice Department has held forums to examine what can be done to restore trust between police and communities of color. Through the President's groundbreaking task force on 21st century policing, we're bringing law enforcement leaders and experts together to provide strong national direction on a scale not seen in nearly half a century. And going forward, we intend to continue to use every tool at our disposal to enhance our capacity to combat crime while restoring public trust. I'm going to have to stop there and go into our next music break. It's currently 25 after the hour. And we'll be back with more of this article. But right now, we're going to hear a song from, again, another song from Mila J entitled Don't, and also from the CoverGirl mixtape. This is Mila J, her song entitled Don't, and we'll be right back.
Don't play with her, don't be dishonest. Ay. Still not understanding this logic. Back and I'm better. I want you bad as ever. Don't let me just let up. I wanna give you better. Baby, it's whatever. Somebody gotta step up. Gonna mess somebody, so I'm next up. Be damned if I let them catch up. It's easy to see that you're fitter. I am on a whole nother level. Girl, he only fought you over cause you let him. Fucking girl, I guess he didn't know any better. Girl, that man didn't show any effort. Do all I can just to show you you're special. Certain it's your love that holds me together. Lately you say he been killing the vibe. Gotta be sick of this guy. Pull up skirt, get in the right. Left hand is steering, the other is gripping your thigh. Light up a spliff and get high. Shawty, you deserve what you've been missing. Looking at you, I'm thinking he must be tripping. Play this song for him, girl, I'm just listening.
Keep it 100, man, ain't no shame. The way he put it down, he deserve everything. Oh, baby, I swear he holds it down. Yeah, he holds it now. So don't.
Welcome back to India Morrell Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. We just heard a song from Mila J entitled Don't. And we are currently on the issue of war on police, question mark. And currently I'm reading from the article from Dr. Stacey Patton entitled Trust Has Never Existed Between Cops and Black Communities. And I mean, the article is just the, I guess we can say, essay the article essay is just good. I mean, it's just right on. I mean, to those to people who really understand the situation as it actually is, and not how the negative powers that be want us to think it is. So to continue on into this article from Dr. Stacy Patton, she says, not surprisingly, several sheriffs and police chiefs are singing the same song. In the Detroit News article, experts debate how to restore trust in police. Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. Of Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, who is black, chose to blame the community, saying that the discussion must start with addressing the behavior of people who have no respect for authority, who fight with and try to disarm the police, who flee the police, and who engage in other flawed life choices. Clark, who oversees the Milwaukee County Jail, where Terrell Thomas died of thirst, went on to say that he'd heard from officers across the country that the constant bashing and maligning of the profession is starting to take its toll on police morale. Dr. Patton goes on to say, the public focus on trust is part of the problem. There has never been a golden age between police and black communities. That is just a racist fantasy that folks in positions of power like to push to maintain the illusion that oppressed communities are somehow as powerful as the police. The constant call for restoring trust makes injustice little more than a therapy session, rather than the deeply entrenched structural imbalance that controls how police are deployed in communities of color. History tells us that policing in America has always been and continues to be designed to control black bodies and behavior, and knowing that, black folk have been suspicious of law enforcement for centuries. Okay, I'm going to skip some of this and go on to this part here. Dr. Patton says, following the Emancipation Proclamation, new laws were passed to regulate the movement, freedom, and lives of African Americans. These black codes criminalize everything from vagrancy, breaking job contracts, not showing up at work, possessing a firearm, and insulting gestures or acts, or vaguely defined offenses designed to keep black folk in bondage. The police enforced these laws, and when black folk went to trial with all white juries, they were found guilty and sent to work in the convict leasing system, another form of slavery. And Dr. Patton goes on to say, and the NYPD stop and frisk program, lauded by Trump, is described by Khalil Muhammad, author of the Condemnation of Blackness, as an old and enduring form of surveillance and racial control, stretching back to the black codes in every southern state. I mean, we have to have a historical consciousness in a real sense to understand what Dr. Patton is saying here. This is not new. I mean, this has already been put out in books. This is where Dr. Patton got it from. And basically, this is how I know what I know concerning what Dr. Patton is talking about. But, you know, the black codes. How many of us know about the black codes that came into play directly after slavery? But then again, thinking about that, I think about what I have been hearing a lot on the internet, and it's the idea or theory that police actually, the system of policing, as it currently is today, has its beginning or its antecedents in slavery. And they talk about, in actuality, the slave patrol were the police at one point. And then coming up further in time, it's almost like the slave patrollers in another day were just given badges to further control black people, although we weren't officially slaves. But that's to be looked into, because that's an interesting concept. Actually, interesting concept, yes, but devastating if true. Devastating if true. But going back into this article that Dr. Stacy Patton has written, She says here that Jim Crow, okay, let me back up here. Okay, she talks more about the black codes here. She says those codes were intended to use the criminal justice system to restrict the freedom and mobility of black people. And if you crossed any line that they prescribed, you could be sold back to your former slave owner, not as a slave, but as a prisoner, to work off your fine after an auction where you were resold to the highest bidder. It tells you something about the invention of the criminal justice system as a repressive tool to keep black people in their place. Muhammad tells Bill Moyers in an interview, and it's still with us, and it's still with us. That's what this guy Khalil Muhammad told an interviewer, Bill Moyers. He says, it's still with us. It's still with us because ultimately, as a social problem, crime has become like it was in the Jim Crow South, a mechanism to control black people's movement in cities. Jim Crow also led to countless black people being hanged, shot, or burned to death for being accused of disrespecting whites, testifying in court, and not paying their debts. Most black men and teenagers, however, were lynched for accusations of rape, even when there was proof of a consensual relationship. When lynching began to decline in the early 20th century, court-ordered executions rose dramatically. Check that out. So from illegal to legal, in a real sense, especially for people of color. In the 2015 report, Lynching in America, Confronting the Legacy of Racial Terror, the Equal Justice Initiative noted that African Americans were only 22% of the population in the U.S. South from 1910 to 1950, but accounted for 75% of executions. Under Jim Crow, African Americans faced daily violence from the police, who were empowered to enforce the laws of segregation. Jim Crow prevented black people from entering areas designated as white only, including but not limited to trains, buses, schools, parks, restaurants, stores, hotels, and medical facilities. It was the job of America's crime fighters to enforce these laws. Crime fighters, the police. Look no further. Dr. Patton goes on further to say, look no further than the protests of the civil rights movements where white people used billy clubs, tear gas, attack dogs, and water hoses against black people without any consequences. Those purported to protect and serve have always been about protecting and serving white supremacy at the expense of black freedom and black lives. She goes further to say, given this history, it isn't surprising that many black people don't trust the police. And this isn't simply about the history books. The past is the present. Today, we are bearing witness to nonstop viral videos of black people being tasered, pepper sprayed, beaten, gunned down while walking, standing, sitting, reading, working, and breathing while black. Meanwhile, police are waging a public relations campaign to position themselves as victims. Check that out. And that goes along with that first article I read concerning something that they like to call the Ferguson effect. But you know, concerning what Dr. Patton had just said there about history, let me get that part there, where when she said the past is the present. Yes, I definitely agree with that, because it's like a historical progression in a real sense. It's like I've come to say, the past, present, and future are connected. And let me put it this way. If the past is a positive happening, the present is bound to be a positive happening too. And therefore, if the past and present are both positive happenings, it's more so to be than not that the future will also be positive. And conversely, if the past is negative and not corrected into the present will also be negative and, if not corrected, extending on into the future. The future is going to be negative too. And in my opinion, this is what we black people have been experiencing since we got here. And by extension, all Americans in a real sense, because we're all caught up in this thing. But black people just get the brunt of it more so than other people. Anyway, move right along in this article from, Dr. Patton. She says here that the last few decades has witnessed an era of broken windows policing, stop and frisk, the balancing of budgets through fines from arrests and court proceedings and mass incarcerations. And she's I'm skipping here, but she also says here, the proof is ubiquitous. The Department of Justice has or is currently investigating police departments in Albuquerque, Inglewood, and Los Angeles, East Haven, Connecticut, Miami, Boise, Idaho, or Iowa, I think, Baltimore, Missoula, New York, Newark, Ferguson, Portland, Cleveland, Chicago, New Orleans, Seattle, and a host of other cities across this country for systemic civil rights violations. So she goes on to say, so this nonsense about rebuilding trust is based on the lie that trust ever existed in the first place. It gives the impression that it is black people's bad attitudes toward law enforcement that are at the root problem rather than the institutional makeup and agenda of law enforcement itself. And this whole dynamic serves the purpose of devaluing black life, undermining the concept of black humanity, and maintaining a systemic status quo that guarantees keeping black folk at the bottom. And she goes further to say that this insulting illusion of restoring trust ignores the reality that the vast majority of these cases involving an African-American victim and a police officer never result in the officer being charged or convicted of the appropriate charge. All of this reminds us that black lives aren't valued either in America's criminal justice system or in our everyday lives. It's painfully obvious that trust and better relationships are not the issue. Naturally, politicians and police officials can't address the real truths, so they continue to promote the dangerous fantasy that blacks and the police are on equal footing, and that both sides have a responsibility to improve their interactions, that sitting down for a beer, that getting to know one another, and that seeing the goodness in each other's hearts, never mind the fact that institutions don't have hearts, will lead to peace. If law enforcement officials are genuinely serious about building trust because you can't restore something that never existed in the first place, they can begin by, and she gives a list of at least five things here. I'm going to read them out. She says, ending racial profiling, number one. Number two, establish true police accountability. Number three, institute training for cops on how to de-escalate volatile situations rather than attacking, arresting, or shooting people. Instead of seeing blacks as bad dudes as a target practice, view black people as human, as innocent until proven guilty, rather than as living, breathing sources of target practice. Four, stop using military-grade gear, weapons, and vehicles. No more tanks and robot bombs. And five, get rid of arrest. I mean, that's something to consider. I mean, especially getting rid of being arrested for profit. I mean, really. And then she also says, and ticketing quotas as a measure of effective policing. So let me back that up on five. She says, get rid of arrest and ticketing quotas as a measure of effecting policing. And then six, tear down the blue wall. And she says further that until then, political candidates can spew all the rhetoric they want about restoring trust each and every time they mention trust as something that once existed and needs only to be restored. They are displaying their willful ignorance about the history of racism and policing in this nation. She goes further to say, and ending here, We can barely catch our breath between viral videos and hashtags and hashtagged names on the ever-growing list of black casualties at the hands of police. The next time you hear someone in power mention trust, remind them it's all just a hustle until we hear an actual plan backed up by viable policies that will protect our communities and not men in blue who are already well protected. Enough with the vague pandering promises that are never realized. Until these candidates recognize our humanity, the rhetoric baiting our vote ain't worth shit. That was Dr. Stacey Patton. That's why I love this woman, intellectually speaking. She's an idol. Yes, she is. Okay, so moving right along. The Trump article, I guess that can be for next week. But right now I want to go into this issue about this female racist. Yes, because yes, she is. She is a fact of racist, this person. Her name is Tommy Loren. She's, in my opinion, she ought to be the new poster child for racism, to show that that all races aren't how can I put it? Because she is ignorant to speak as she does speak. She's totally ignorant. But then again, that goes back into the other article I was reading about the false narrative of the war on cops. How in order for her to say the thing that is Tommy Loren, even for her to say the things that she does say, she has to forget a whole lot. Or if not forget a whole lot, she must not know a whole lot other than what she's told to say. Or more so, other than what her conservative handlers tell her to say. But anyway, first off, I want to read something here from. I got this off Dr. Patton's timeline yesterday. It was posted on her line, on her timeline, and it came to mind. It concerns this guy. He's on that show called The Breakfast Club. He calls himself Charlemagne the God. And what he said, they got a lot of people in an uproar, and well, it should have, because he only displayed his supreme ignorance by saying something like this, as I'm going to read here. He said, he put it on Twitter even. He said, would it be dope if a young black or Hispanic woke woman used social media to create a platform to be a voice like Tommy Loren did? And I like the fact that this other person that I'm a Facebook friend with, she has so many friends that I only follow her because she has a lot of amount of friends that Facebook will allow her to have. She can't have any more friends. People only follow her. Her name is Francesca Ramsey, and she says, not to mention Tommy didn't create her platform. She was hired by Blaze. And she said that on Twitter. And then she goes further to say, meanwhile myself and others have been writing and producing content on YouTube for years. And she's a black woman, you know, talking, refuting what this guy, Charlemagne the God, said and propping up this racist Tommy Loren. Charlemagne the God, if you don't know, he's a black guy. But I don't watch his show. Let me point that out right now. I don't watch his show. And the thing is, I would only know of him and or about his show because a female friend of mine, when she comes to my place, she pulls it up on YouTube. And I'm the kind of person, I mean, like, I can't listen to everything. And one thing among other things that I can't listen to is ignorance. I mean, if I'm around somebody and, like, they're just talking some ignorant nonsense, I walk away. I just do, because I don't have to stand around listening to that. I'm not in the army or you know, in some kind of organization wherein I have to show respect to somebody who's ignorant. No. I walk right the fuck away. Yes, I do. But anyway, this guy or that show, as I said, this friend of mine, when she's here, she'll pull it up and, you know, being respectful, you know, wanting her to enjoy herself while she's here at my place, I tell her, you know, can you put on some earphones when you listen to that? Because I can't hear it. It's disturbing to me to hear them talking. It really is. I can't take it. And, or, well, I'll ask her to do that, but then again, sometimes, because I have earphones too, sometimes if I'm reading something, I'll put my earphones on so I ain't got to hear that bullshit that she's listening to from that show, The Breakfast Club. Anyway, as I was saying there, this person, Francesca Ramsey, she was saying to this guy via Twitter that you know, this is already happening. What are you talking about? Don't you know? Where have you been that you don't know that there are black women, as he put it, woke, or in other words, that there are black women of a social consciousness who do have a platform and are speaking out on issues. Unlike this racist cretin, Tommy Loren, she shouldn't even have a platform. She really shouldn't, because she's another Donald Trump, but then again, too, she's more eloquent than Donald Trump. I'll put it like that. But anyway, moving right along here, because there is much to say on that. Francesca has said much, but I want to move right on through there and read off something else from another person that I just became Facebook friends with yesterday through this issue. Her name is Ronnie Dean, and evidently she's on Facebook, and again, she already has also the allotted amount of followers, friends, so I can only follow her, and I'm doing that now because of this that she had posted. She has said, you know, to Charlemagne the God, he called himself Charlemagne the God, T-H-A, she said, comparing any woman of color to Tommy Loren is awful at every level. She is a full Klan member. I totally agree with that. She's a full Klan member. That's like saying, and then she goes further to say, that's like saying I wish black men would organize themselves like the KKK. That's a terrible comparison because they are organized around hate. That's Tommy Loren. Her whole spiel is hatred. Hatred toward black people, hatred toward immigrants, hatred toward Muslims, hatred toward anybody who is not white like herself, basically. Anyway, this woman here goes further to say that furthermore, the woman on that list, myself included, have a following that was in place before Loren became relevant. Remember, her relevance is directly linked to racism of the president-elect. I believe Francesca gave you some examples on Twitter. Start there. Oh, and don't forget your own network. Finally, you have Sean King and Umar on your show. These are black men who ain't shit. I don't know about that, but that's what this woman says. They've stolen from black women, and they routinely verbally marginalize us. So why don't you bring some black and Latinx women activists on your show and amplify our voices? Who knows? And then after I had read that, you know, because I heard that that this guy Charlemagne the God had said what he said, oh, I was tight, but it helped me to have read what Ronnie had said. I loved it, and therefore I had responded on her post that I said thanks for that, Ronnie. I needed to have read your words after having read his ludicrous utterance. He probably likes Lorenz Fox's passionate racist ramblings. I'm following you now. Your friend lists have exceeded the allotted number. I wonder if Charlemagne the God is a Facebook friend or is following you. I'd bet he isn't. If he was, he'd never have asked that question or suggested something as intellectually awkward. And then another person has said, never heard of him. Seems like a jackass. And then another person has said, he really is on most subjects. And then I have responded by saying, hence his question. Often, one can tell the level of a person's intellect by the questions they ask. Then again, no question is a stupid question. Thus, this often quoted cliche isn't necessarily true. Using Tommy Loren's name in intelligent discussion appertaining to something positive is ignorance on fleek. For sure it is. And then here is something, again, on Tommy Loren that I had written. I happen to have seen her on The Daily Show, which is, again, a show I don't watch on a regular, but via Facebook. One of my Facebook friends had posted that she was on The Daily Show, and I figured, let me look at this, because this guy, Trevor Noah, he at least, he's quasi-intelligent, I would say that. He says certain things that sometimes, you know, gets my attention. And being that she was going to be on his show, I figured, let me give a listen. Anyway, after her having been on his show, she wrote some kind of article about her having been on the show. And after I read that article, I had written this on her timeline. I said, I just read this article. I have seen the Daily Show interview in which you made an appearance. You allude to a situation of you being booed. I didn't hear that. Then again, this is the type of psychosis individuals of your mindset are afflicted with. Your reality and that of those who really listen to you exists in your and their heads, but has zero objective validity that relates to the real world and or those around you. Donald Trump is the same type as you. Remember the political rally Obama was at, speaking on behalf of Hillary Clinton being president? An older man of a sudden began to talk out loud and, I guess, interrupt the president's speech. Obama was highly respectful of that man. Obama even mentioned the man may be one of our veterans, for he had on an army jacket or some clothing that would indicate he was prior military. Yet, let moron Trump tell it, Obama was shouting at the elderly gentleman who was only exercising his First Amendment right. It must have been in Trump's head that he heard President Obama shouting at that elderly man, just as it was in your head, Tommy, that you heard people of the Daily Show audience booing you. People who exist ignoring reality must be troubled individuals. I'd imagine such people really do encounter things that go bump in the night. Why? Because they can't see nothing that relates to reality. Oh, let me mention this. For as you say, Team Tommy, you weren't booed, but you were laughed at when you mentioned the trite nonsense about not seeing color. The host of The Daily Show then asked the question of, what do you do when you come to a traffic light? That was laughable. Red, yellow, and green are colors. But that's what she said. She said Trevor had said some stuff, and she said, you know, da da da. And then she said, I don't see color. And then Trevor had asked her, well, what do you do when you come to a traffic light? That was interesting. Anyway, going on into what I had written here. Just saying, you all who use that phrase don't even consider how insulting that phrase is to a black person who does not feel that there is anything wrong with his or her color, as you all evidently do by choosing to act as if you don't even see it. As quiet as is kept, what you all are saying in essence is, I see you as a human being despite the color of your skin. Well, is it my skin color that would rob me of my humanity if you choose to see it and or acknowledge it? Let me read that part again. I'm asking here, well, is it my skin color that would rob me of my humanity if you choose to see it and or acknowledge it? This nonsense that people like you, Tommy, and others of your mindset are mouthing is some real insulting psychological nonsense. I've evolved to call this kind of nonsense racist gaslighting. And then also I had I was on her page for something, and I had seen people were. Let me just read what I had written here. It was in response to something that someone else had posted on her timeline. I had written here this was on December 7th. Yes, the day of the commemoration of Pearl Harbor. I had written here that the Jewish people. Okay, I had said here, the Jewish people of Europe had a reaction to what Hitler was saying. There was a reaction, either indifference, there was either reaction. Oh, yes, I recall now why I had written this. But, however, I'm being told that time is winding down. We got like maybe 90 or less seconds left. So I'm going to come back to more of this article on Tom Loren next week, as well as that article on, well, not the article, but on talking about Trump next week as well. Yes, that's what I'm going to do. So in the meantime, we're going to go out with another record from, let's see here, if I can get it right, Oh, yes. Okay, let's go out with Mila J, entitled Diamonds, featuring Drake and Future from the CoverGirl mixtape. And here we go. And we'll be back next week, so be sure and tune in before the holiday, okay, and the new year as well. So here we go, Mila J, Diamonds, featuring Drake and Future from the CoverGirl mixtape. And see you all next week.
Yeah. Yeah. Phone's blowing up right now, but I ain't tryna talk, I'm tryna feel the fire. All my bitches fucked up right now, but got the jewelry on me, now I'm tryna keep it tight. Now my nigga, he been trippin' on me all week. Now I'm tryna get my mind off the shit, and you know what I need. Yeah, and I don't give a damn who sees. I'm tryna be slipping on, don't bury off for no reason. Popping tags up an echelon for no reason. Seen this bad little Jones, she was perfect. I let her push the phone right now if she worth it. Falling in the middle of the club, no jersey. He don't want no liquor cause he been drinking like dirty. Bring the eight spot a case, my bitch is with me. Bring some ice for my cup, my drink with me.
Talking to your friends like you usually do. Telling them I never spend time with you. It's hard to find the time we've been
slipping on, don't bury on for no reason. Popping tags up an echelon for no reason. Seen this bad little Jones, she was perfect. I let her push the floor right now if she worth it. Falling in the middle of the club, no jersey. My bitch is with me. Bring some ice for my cup, my drink with me.
And if you took it, you can vouch for me. I did it my way, you can vouch for me. I put the cocaine and the powder in the couch, homie. Whenever I step outside the house, I get the Glocky on me. Bad bitches wanna come by the paparazzi on me. I got so many bad bitches that I barely wanna. I'm barely paying attention, baby, I need substance. I know you spent some time on your makeup and your outfit.